Hey, it's time for Curmudgeon's Corner again, and this time I won't make you listen to like our pre-show talking about like what we're going to talk about.
Arguing and other stuff. Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, you know, but you know, it is Sunday, January 16th, 2011. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Yvonne Bo almost stood me up today, but you know, he pulled through in the end.
Well, I you know, that wasn't the part plan. I went and I was doing some household chores, and I don't know, I just forgot track of the time.
You know, I was feeling bad here because I got here at an appropriate time, and I was like, you know, I have jack shit to talk about. I don't know what topics are. And I'm like, I send Yvonne a message saying, give me a few minutes to look for topics. I spent a few minutes looking for topics, and I still had jack shit. So I'm like, okay, let's just get started. And then he wasn't there.
Right. So anyway, you know, but I am here, okay? And, you know, but, you know, we're pretty much on the same even keel about not having much to say. But I don't know.
Was it really a slow week, or does it just seem that way? I
think a lot of the news got consumed a lot by what happened in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a continuous news cycle related to that. There were a couple of little events, but let's face it, Verizon announced the whole thing about the iPhone, but really everybody had been expecting this for months.
Yeah,
okay?
and there was no like big surprise there. It was like, here's the iPhone. And there was, you know, one feature, I guess, the fact that you could use the phone as a hotspot. Not everybody, I hadn't heard like lots of people talking about that before, but apparently then afterwards I heard, you know, that'll be in the next system upgrade for the AT&T iPhones too. So, you know, in the end that won't be a unique feature. It's just, they'll have it first, I guess. You know,
that's it. It's an iPhone.
Well,
it's available on another network.
They did confirm, of course, you can't do voice and data at the same time. Just like the rest of the CDMA phones in the world.
Right. And they did explain that they didn't launch the 4 LTE phone right now because the chipsets are just not mature enough right now. So the chipset apparently would have required to do some design changes and compromises, which they just weren't willing to.
Well, and not to mention, Apple's been really conservative about that kind of thing in the past, too, in terms of how broadly a technology has to be rolled out. If you remember, the first iPhone didn't have 3G.
Right.
You know, and they were like, you know, it's not in enough places yet. It's not reliable enough. The network isn't.
And the battery life also as well.
And the battery life sucked. And I think a lot of people are saying a lot of the same things about LTE that maybe in 6 months or a year. Okay. But not yet, you know.
I mean, and I will admit that I would not be willing to get I don't see the point of a 4G phone that has half the battery life of the current one. I mean, at least for me personally, I need more battery life.
Oh, yeah. I think if they tried to do anything where the battery life went down, that's like a non-starter. I'm sorry, you know.
That's right. So that's just ridiculous. So, yeah, I can see how that
And I want speed. But, you know, fundamentally, 3G is okay. You know? You know,
and for the kind of browsing and internet that we do on the phone, I mean, it's not like we're downloading every freaking day a 12 gigabyte file or something, you know?
Well, no, I'll tell you though, the place that makes a big difference is streaming video and that kind of stuff. And I do that sometimes on my 3G iPhone 4, but it's not that awesome an experience, and I would probably do it a lot more often if I had a significantly higher network speed.
But I think that sometimes it's not so much whether it's 3G or 4G, because I think sometimes it's just
your local,
you know,
congestion.
Yeah, you have local congestion, you have a poor signal. I mean, you may have a 4G phone, but if you've got a poor signal and you've got local congestion, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, because when I have full signal strength, you know, on my phone and I'm in a place, you know, I'll go into streaming video and it works fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because this season, for example, for football, I did get the NFL Sunday ticket package that included the streaming of the games on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And or the iPad. And I will tell you that it worked quite well for the most part. You know, I mean, I could watch a game on my damn phone. you know, pretty close to real time. And I mean, I went, like, for example, usually I'll tell you that one of the places where you get a lot of traffic congestion, you get problems with using the phone, is I went to an actual NFL stadium. I went to the Dolphins, you know, I live near, you know, where the Dolphins play, and I went to one of the Dolphins games. And almost every time I went to a Dolphins game, it was impossible to use the phones, or got close to that, because you get all of a sudden 70,000, you know, close to 100,000 people in one place at the same time, and it's just the network just, you know, can't handle all the people at the same time. But the last time, I guess AT&T must have done something there, because the last couple of times it was just ridiculous. I couldn't even text people when I was at the stadium. So last time, I guess they did something that I was there, and there was another game going on while we were in the stadium that we were trying to watch to see what the score was, and I was able to stream the video of the game while I was at the stadium without a problem. We were able to watch a game. It's like a couple of people beside me, they were like, oh, you got the game on the phone? They were like, oh, wait. They were like all, you know, crowding around me to figure out what the hell the score was on the other game. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I mean, right now I'm like, would it be nice to get it? Yes, because I know that the video quality that I got on the video would have been better if we had more, you know, was 4G. But I'm, you know, right now I'm not like really like, woohoo, 4G, give it to me. I need it. I don't know. I'm not, you know,
yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope the additional bandwidth, though, would also make it so that if you're using less intensive applications, there's more headroom to avoid the kind of problems that you were mentioning. But that all depends on how they set up the capacity, how it works, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know that stuff, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, you're right. In the end, what I want to be able to do is do whatever the fuck I want on my phone and not think about it.
Right.
You know, and yep. We're not there yet. There are definitely certain things where, you know, certain kinds of things work fine all the time, almost all the time, and certain other things are spotty. And like you said, the video is highly dependent. Like, sometimes I'll get, you know, I'll be looking at it and I'll be like, I can't believe this is a phone. What's going on here? This is awesome. And then sometimes...
Other times you're like, it's unusable. For the love of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, right. So you mentioned Arizona real quick. So going back for just a second to that, I guess the update was more related to all the stuff surrounding it. And basically there were, you know, a pair of speeches. You know, Sarah Palin made a speech and Barack Obama made a speech. And a lot of the attention surrounded on those two and contrasting those two and blah, blah, blah. You know, Palin basically came on and, you know, talked about, oh, it's a strategy, but then a tragedy, but then moved on very quickly to, you know, defending herself against the attacks that people had made, saying, you know, it had something to do with the political rhetoric and stuff. And I don't know, I wasn't horribly impressed. I mean, I probably would never have been horribly impressed, but,
it is Sarah Palin talking. I mean,
I know. And then Obama came on and give a memorial service. And honestly, I only watched the first half of his speech, and I've heard a lot of reviews saying like the second half was particularly awesome and inspirational and blah, blah, blah. And I haven't watched that half yet.
Yeah. I did not watch the speech, and I heard that. I read a little bit about the comments about Sarah Palin and her speech and whatever. I was having a conversation about this yesterday with somebody while I was watching the football game yesterday. And one of the things about this, it's just, you know, look, it wasn't the Republican or Democratic rhetoric itself, okay, or the militia rhetoric or whatever, because you find a lot of like different, in the rants of this guy, you find a mishmash of all sorts of different, you know, strains of extremism, all mixed up into one jumbled mess.
This is actually an important point, which is nobody has actually made a connection that this guy did any of what he did because of any rhetoric from any politician whatsoever.
Correct.
People are just taking advantage of the opportunity to say, you know, hey, you know, Sarah Palin put out a poster that had crosshairs on this district, and look what happened. But there's no causal connection here, and that correct. Anybody has shown. And, you know, to that degree, I completely agree that Sarah Palin's getting a bum rap.
I agree, but I think that the one thing is that a number of people, what they've been saying is, I agree with, like, blaming her directly is not realistic. However,
I don't think very many people have done that directly.
Or have they? Right.
They've tried to say the supercharged rhetoric, of course it's eventually going to result in something.
And I think that the supercharged rhetoric, did have an influence. I think that the one thing is, like I was saying to somebody yesterday, look, this guy was just apparently listened to a whole bunch of supercharged rhetoric that just coincidentally was, right-wing rhetoric that he was paying attention. But I will tell you this, that if he had been listening to a whole bunch of left-wing supercharged rhetoric as well, I think that
during the George W. Bush administration, my God.
John Bonner or one of these freaking guys. Who the hell knows? McCain or one of these guys. So I think that the
analogy is, people have complained about trying to draw the equivalent and how most of the violent rhetoric is coming from the right now. But, yeah, but like, look 4 years ago. Look at all the people, talking about George Bush being a war criminal and, all of this. And there was no shortage of over-the-top stuff from the other side either. To some degree, it's like, that kind of rhetoric is always going to be against whoever's in charge.
Right.
Who's going to bother with, violent, over-the-top rhetoric complaining against the minority party,
Right. But I guess the point is that, I think that, and we need, everybody needs to just fucking tone down the stupid rhetoric. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, we've already said this on the show many times, I think. But
at the same time, I'll counter that with, people are always talking about it as if right now is the worst ever. And really, if you look back in history.
If you look back at the 70s or 60s.
You look back at the 70s, the 60s, even the 1770s and the early 1800s.
Yes.
The election of 1800 was one of the most vitriolic ever. But the point here being, this is actually the norm. It would be a weird, unusual situation if everybody on all sides of sort of the political debate was like, oh yeah, we disagree, but we know they mean well, and we'll all work together for the greater good. That would be an aberration. The norm is, frankly, if somebody believes they are right and the other guy is wrong, then duh. Of course they think the other guy's stupid, that they think the other guy's malicious. If they didn't, then they don't really think they're right. So I don't know. I think all of this worry about the level of rhetoric is to some degree misplaced. It is fairly common for it to be like this. On the other hand, yes, people should still tone it down, even if it is the norm and it's often like that more often than it's like anything else. You cross a line when you go from, discussing the pros and cons of your opinion versus their opinion to when you're, essentially calling for violence or saying things that could be interpreted that way, because of course they're very careful. Nobody actually calls for violence, at least in this country. That's all.
Anyway, all right. So, the other thing about the whole Zona thing that I was like, this week I was just, so some people have been talking about, how certain, there have been certain gun control measures that have been allowed to expire, that one of them that would have probably influenced what happened here, because I don't know if you saw in the news the fact that the Glock that he had a 33 Bullet magazine.
Okay. Like,
which is the reason why he was able to frickin' mow down so many people at once. Now, if I understood correctly, and some people correct me if I'm wrong, I understood that one of the laws that was passed, like in the, I can't remember, it was either the first Bush administration, you know, the Bush senior administration or the Clinton administration, was a gun control law that was an assault rifle ban that also included a ban on these super high capacity magazines, okay? Because honestly, they're ridiculous, okay? I mean, it's just, what the hell does a normal human being for anything really need a 33 bullet magazine, okay? Well, I guess the only use is if you want to mow down as many people as possible before reloading in a public event, yes, you need a 33 bullet mag, okay? And so that's why this guy was able to mow down so many people, and a whole bunch of people were saying...
Self-defense, Yvonne.
33 bullets?
Hunting.
Hunting?
Target practice.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, you know, it will take so long, you know, to you know, when you're target practice. Yeah, you're gonna... I mean, I've been target practicing. I'm sorry. Firing off 33 rounds in one sequence is not really what you're gonna do with a target, okay? There'll be no target left after round 15!
Well, you have to have a whole bunch of targets standing around that you want to get as quickly as possible.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's so helpful. So, I don't know. You know, I'm just like, I mean, you know, it's just some of the stuff that, you know, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Yes, I need an M16 to go deer hunting. Really? What are you going to, you know, I don't know. Anyway, well, the other thing is, of course, that this guy, I don't know if you saw the news. I mean, did you hear some of his rhetoric and rhetoric and stuff? I don't know.
I heard a little bit about it, but I haven't actually bothered. Like, I know they came out with a video that got him kicked out of school. I haven't watched it, you know, things like that.
Ah, oh, man. Well, I'm going to suggest that we take a break right now because we've gone longer.
I think that's a very good idea. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this exciting thing. Whatever this thing is. Yeah. Okay. Here you go.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Sugar Shack by Alan King. After Ernie Barnes and Edward Hirsch. Looking at Sugar Shack by Ernie Barnes in early November, I stared at women whose backsides curved like hooks. The men, snapping their fingers and stretching skinny limbs, could be a school of fish swimming among anglers. They existed in a world of oil and canvas. They danced as if it was the 1970s, the decade my parents emigrated here from Trinidad. U.S. soldiers were already dying in South Vietnam's rice paddies. My mom wore a white dress with a train. A rice cloud followed my parents from the altar to church doors. I was looking at Sugar Shack, staring at women dancing, as if something burned down their spines like a flame on a wick. I walked through the frame of the painting where Marvin Gaye's banner hung from the ceiling the way a sports jersey's hung from the rafters. I walked through the frame as if crossing the threshold of a house. Marvin Gaye's singing through cracks and pops on a worn 45. A woman who sounds like my mom is laughing at a shadow shaped like my father. Then the sound of springs moaning. Marvin crackling and popping his serenade. The 45 spins like I imagine a soldier's mind runs a reel of death over and over. The 45 moans like the lovers in the next room, giggling while they made me. I was looking at Sugar Shack, staring at women whose jelly rhythms left men ogling, as if toddlers learning the shape of things, having forgotten their names. I walked through the frame of the painting and thought I saw my parents, single, staring at each other through the crowd.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
And we're back.
Okay, we're back. All right.
Thanks for singing us in, Yvonne.
Oh, sure, no problem. So anyway, I don't know. I thought you would find something like that you would be, I don't know, how would you say, a bond with him, because something about one of his reds about, you can't deny math!
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yes, I don't know if you saw that little thing about him being in class as something like the professor said the number. I think the professor said one number, and he said another number, and the professor's like, "What are you talking about?" And his response was, "You can't deny math." And they're all like, "What? What's wrong with this guy?" Which now we know there's a lot of seriously wrong stuff with him.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And in the end, this is, you got to treat this the right way. This is not, sort of a politically motivated conspiracy where someone wanted a political result and went out on an assassination attempt.
Yep.
This is a psycho.
This guy is really a nut job. Yep.
You know, this is much more John Hinckley.
Matching socks.
Oh.
This is fun.
Wait, what the fuck?
Okay, this goes with this, right? Oh, gosh, I got one out there. Right.
So, Yvonne?
Yes.
I think for a good portion of that last segment, I may have forgotten to hit record.
You have to be shitting me! Are you fucking with me?
Let's see, because I have my first segment is like 15 minutes long. The second segment, I have like 2 minutes.
Oh, dear God!
And I don't...
Aside from the fact that we are running on empty on ideas, okay? We wind up
Nothing crashed or anything. I think I accidentally hit like the stop button or something.
Oh, for crying out loud!
I think for our listeners here, we talked more about the Arizona aftermath and some of the crazy stuff the shooter had put, and sort of the nature of psychological problems, and we talked a little bit about Giffords and her recovery or what may or may not happen there, and it was all sort of very sad, but most of it apparently I didn't bother to record. Yvonne and I were just talking. and it's nice to have a conversation with you, Yvonne, but
Oh, for crying out loud! Fuck me!
I don't know what stopped
me. I don't know. We're not having a good day. We're definitely not having a good day, okay? This is not, this show is not one of our most successfully put together cogent shows. And for those of you who don't, by the way, we did have some listener feedback.
We did. Let me bring that up. Thank you for reminding me, Yvonne. We've had some listener feedback.
Let's go to the feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. Okay. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, sing while I bring it up. Feedback music.
Feedback. Feedback's in the bag.
That's kind of amusing. Okay. I tried
to do something.
Yes, you did. Okay, so we got feedback from M. This was posted as a comment on my blog when I posted the podcast for the January 2nd podcast specifically. Hi, guys. Only the second time I've listened. I don't like all the cursing, and as highly educated and the use of nice vocabulary throughout,
I will tell you this, that if he doesn't like all the cursing, then me definitely getting pissed off about not recording the last segment did not help that department.
As highly educated in the use of nice vocabulary throughout, I think you can find a clever way around the cursing. Other than that, this broadcast I enjoyed and even laughed a little. All for getting rid of 3D and putting in holodecks.
I'm with him on that, actually. We second the whole motion.
By the way, I think M is a she.
Whatever. Him, she, geez, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm just an idiot. But anyway, bottom line, as I was saying, is just that, you're going to try to get me to stop cursing. Well, look, many have tried and failed, okay?
You know, and we have gotten this feedback before on a couple of different occasions.
Yes, many have tried and failed.
I would say the most common feedback on this show is, look, like, do you have to say fuck all the time? You know.
Probably, apparently, according to everybody that knows me, apparently the answer is yes. Okay?
I end up doing it just as much.
I am not doing this for some impact. I am not, like, coming on here and recording and, like, all of a sudden speaking in a different way. I had HR at my office come in and, like, tell me that people were complaining about my use of the word fuck. Okay, on multiple occasions.
Excellent.
At my current employer and my previous employer, HR did not say anything, but I will tell you that upper management did make a point about the fact that I apparently, have a excellent tendency to be able to conjugate the verb in very different fashions and use it quite creatively. Okay. I have made efforts to cut back on my use, and they've been quite unsuccessful. So
I like to think that, like, I segregate the different portions of my life. So I will swear a lot in my podcast with you because it's sort of like, it's kind of like what we do.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like what we've always spoken, but I guess you're more able.
When I'm at work, there will be the occasional swear word that, you know, leaks through, but it's not like all the time.
No, I'm very consistent. Anyway, so.
So anyway, thanks for enjoying our show, Em. Sorry about the swearing. It's probably not going to reduce too much. Honestly, like I could try to bleep it, but that would take a lot of work.
That would make for one funny show, though, if you tried one show where you bleeped it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. There'd be lots of bleeps. You know, the other thing along those lines I've thought of is that, like, you know, look, if we were actually doing this for a living, one of the other things that we could potentially do is, you know, I say that, you know, I edit together the show, but all I really do is slap on the intro music, the music at the end, and a couple of breaks, and read the poem of the week and insert it in. But, like, really editing it would mean, like, listening to it and eliminating the redundancy and the stupid part and bringing it down to, like, you know, the most interesting parts.
Right.
And, you know...
Oh, that we're definitely not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean that would take like hours. Hours.
We have to get it. It would mean like actually producing a real show. Now, if somebody is volunteering to be our producer,
yeah,
I mean we would gladly accept the takers on the production side.
It would be interesting to see one of our shows edited down in that way. Of course, there'd be like 30 seconds left, but you know.
Yes, probably only that piece, but anyway.
Anyway.
All right, so probably what will be the shortest curmudgeon's quarter in quite a long time is coming to a close at this moment. Because we're not going to talk about Tunisia, are we? Do we really?
Tunisia seems like it should be, like, important. And, like, there's things going on there that, like, are going to have some impact. And there's a bunch of interesting stuff going on there. But, like... honestly, I haven't followed it at all, other than I know it happened.
I know that the president left the country, and then the prime minister took over, and then the protests didn't stop, and then the prime minister also left. And I guess I understood the president had been in control for like 27 years, But you know, other than that, I really don't know much about history. Anyway, I don't know much about. I mean, I don't have much to say about it. I mean, I understand that probably the people. I mean, let's face it, you got a same guy running the place for 27 years. A lot of people were just unhappy about it. They wanted a change, you know. So, let's see. That's about it.
Here's hoping for a more interesting week next week.
Mm.
Death, destruction, things blowing up. Okay, I'm kidding, but you know, this week was slow.
All right, so I guess we're done. We're out. Okay, we don't got anything else to say. Okay, thanks everybody for listening to our very short, abbreviated Curmudgeon's
Corner. It was much longer. There was like another 15 minutes that Yvonne and I talked. It was very interesting. I just, you know,
failed to record it.
Although I got the first couple minutes, so it's not like I didn't start recording it. It looks like I apparently, there was no crash or anything. It looks like I apparently accidentally stopped it at some point in the middle while I don't know what I was doing, but
dear Lord. Anyway, all right.
Okay, goodbye everybody.
Bye bye.
Have a good week. Enjoy yourself, and we will talk to you next week. Send questions, comments, thoughts to abelsmay@abelsmay.com, or post on my blog, like our listener M did this week. And we'll see you later. Goodbye.
Right. Bye bye.